Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I have to share with you today a wonderful miracle in my life. Terry, when I first saw you on TV, I never could have imagined talking to you myself and doing this work with you and having you for a friend. And I am just... I wouldn't even have asked for that. I just thought you were so far ahead of me, you know. I just couldn't imagine that. So I want to share with you today the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear, wonderful Reverend Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker.
Wow. What can I do? You've got syrup all over me.
I'm sorry.
Honey, really good honey.
I'm sorry, none of it's like hype or it's straight from my heart. Too.
I know, but see, your heart is so pure. You see the goodness in everyone. And that's really, I always say, if people love you, it's a comment on them.
Okay.
See?
I love you because you're irresistible and because you are purely committed to the light. And I've always seen that about you. And
yeah.
I used to...
I'm intense.
I know you are, but you know what it is? It's like you're channeling the great central sun magnet. You are determined to be a sun presence in the world, and you are.
Well, yeah. The sun is nice. It's sun worship is one of the levels to God. So it's really nice. And I think my mother, I think, was a sun worshiper in this sense because she said, well, like the Egyptians and such, because they're more into the astrology of it, the because that's material. Even though there's like a solar person, a solar god, you might say, in charge of that particular job function in the management and continuation of the material universe, which is really just our imagination, because all that exists is really the spiritual. It exists as God, but when we turn away from God, what we do is try and we want to do our own creation rather than a co-creation. So when we turn away from God, it's like we're imagining all kinds of horrible things like we could see going on in the world and if we want to look at that and all that. But in just a moment, we can be in that spiritual world of absolute bliss and love and opulence and joy when we unify with our source. So, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Terry. I didn't mean to.
Oh, but I did. It's your turn.
Oh, I didn't want to turn. It's just, I totally forgot what I was going to say, and it was very, very, very
important. I made you do that. That's terrible. How can I be so inconsiderate? But it's, I'm getting better.
No, it doesn't. What do you mean?
Well, I'm not so inconsiderate. I just started going off on, but I was inspired.
No. Feel free. Mm-hmm. Go out there as far as you want. Be as
are you sure?
Terry.
Are you really sure? I don't know if you're really
you're
sure.
Talking to.
I know, but I'm just like, I always hold myself back.
No.
Yeah, I do. Because
oh, my God.
It's like
What would
so
happen
far
if you
out
didn't
that
hold
people,
yourself back?
Well, it's like I was on the airplane last night coming back from Virginia because I spoke at a real lovely spiritual center in Falls Church, Virginia. And it's so pretty back there and green, and the people are so nice and so wonderfully receptive. And I also noticed that on the plane back, I was sitting next to this gentleman, and I would start to share a few ideas. Like even the thought about, well, you should prepare for your death, which means not really, we can't call it death, we shouldn't call it that anymore, because that's only a material concept that doesn't exist because we're eternal beings. And so, but if we identify with the universe and matter, in a sense, and not using whatever God's energy is in service to the greater good or to God, the God of love, then what happens is we create all kinds of troubles and problems for ourselves because our imagination at that level is based on fear and scarcity and lack, because we're looking away from, say, if you want to do the sun analogy, we're looking away from our source, the sun, the radiant heat, and looking out into the darkness of space. So therefore, that causes our suffering. And so the idea is we've got to remember who we are. And that's to even know who we are. And that should be the first thing taught in any school.
Yes, and then how to get along with each other and how to honor each other.
Well, you know what has to change? They have to change their God. What they've been doing on this planet, we've been honoring as God beings, a being or beings who are not God in the sense of supreme being. And so when people try to be God, the symptoms are greed and envy and miserliness and cruelty and meanness, because they're so afraid, because they've turned away from the love of their life, God, Mother, Father, God, who loves them, and they just turn away, and like, I'm going to do it all myself. But if we could imagine one little ray, little tiny, little spot, a spark of sunlight, thinking I'm going to go out and do this deal on my own.
It would have to go out eventually.
It would, because even though it would never get to absolute zero, because the soul, we never die. We always exist. But we live further and further away from the warmth, so there's less and less feelings of love, and the soul is so restricted. It's so painful. And it's like we put a complete iron thick wall around the heart, the soul. And scientists are finding now that the heart is made of brain matter. And some of the ancient Vedic teachings has taught that the heart is the real brain, the source of the mind, divine mind. And that's the region it teaches in the Vedic Vaishnava teaching, that we reside in the region of the heart, the soul. Each soul does, with the super soul. So each of us has the same super soul. But that super soul is so vast and great that it can divide up itself to be with everyone and every living entity in all this universe, this galaxy, all the millions of galaxies in this particular universe, and all the billions of universes with galaxies and solar systems and all of that, and populated all of those with living entities, living beings, all in this school for God realization.
And let me ask you something. Are you holding yourself back now?
No, I'm coming out little by little.
Okay, Terry, this is what I want. If you've been holding yourself back in any way, if you've been checking yourself.
I'm scared.
Terry, Terry, no. The world is ready. You've been getting them ready. We've all been getting them ready.
We have. Yes.
And the world is
God's
ready now.
Yes.
And what everybody wants is to totally wake up now. And you didn't come to fit in. You came to lead.
Right.
And so you just, I just want to encourage you to let the full glory of God shine through you now and forevermore.
Oh, thank you, Iris.
And it's not that you haven't been doing a great job up till now. I just don't think it's time to
run away and hide. But there's no way to hide.
It's hard for you to hide, honey.
I know we can. Because we do have our nature. And whatever that nature is, we can't suppress it, but we want to use it for love.
Yeah, and we want to use it in a way that gives other people space to be totally themselves. I feel like
one thing
that happens in my presence is after I'm done, nobody's afraid they're going to do it wrong.
No, you're so cute. Oh, I love that. That's what mine was. No one be afraid of being divorced.
You know, my favorite.
Because they say, at least she's worse than I am.
Who?
No, anybody could say that they'd feel better because they could see at least they weren't as bad as I was. Because people don't want to feel bad. And we're judging ourselves all the time.
You know what I think about your divorces?
What?
I worked with a lady one time, and her worst thing in her life was how many times she had been divorced. And you know what I said to her?
What?
I think you are so brave. You are so courageous to when something doesn't fit you, you take it off and move on.
That's
and
very
not
good.
Only that, I think you're so glamorous. I think it's so glamorous to have been divorced four times.
Well, you know, I think originally, really, at some level of truth, is that females, we're all females. That's already tested even in the laboratory. They say that every physical body is all first created as female, and then the males get testosterone. Those are going to be males for whatever reason, and so then they'll shift off. So for really the procreation, in a sense, of bodies for souls to inhabit, to live out their dreams, their nightmares, their fantasies, all their stuff, separate from God, so that they can be God in their own little world. But the problem is they're not the whole big deal.
Well, you know, kind of the way I see it is we truly know that we're one with God.
Right.
And we truly know that everything that God created is perfect. We really
right.
know that.
Yes.
But I think what happens is when someone starts serving the ego
mm-hmm.
and they're operating in a way that is, oh, it may look like a big gain for me, but somebody loses.
Right.
I think that then we're ashamed, like the prodigal son, to accept the divine inheritance,
mm-hmm.
you know, as our true place. And so mm-hmm. we then come into less and less worthiness feeling. But
yes. We also are ashamed of ourselves for judging God. And so that story of the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is an allegory. And it can be true, too, because actually really happening, because things that all happen are always telling a story anyway of a state of mind and consciousness. Then there's as above, so below. So, however, the original creation of the universe, and universes, which goes on all the time on a cyclical basis because living entities have free will. And so because we have free will and we're called marginal according to the Vaishnava Vedic teaching, we're standing between the eternally conditioned and eternally unconditioned souls. And the unconditioned souls live in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual world, in their magnificent, beautiful spiritual bodies, with full spiritual senses all activated, with God, in the form of God, that they choose and they like best. Because in that way, because God is all things, Mother, Father, God, they are one and two at the same time. They are half of each other. But they, so they're one, but they're also two, and that's called Achintya Beta Beta Tattva. And that's Sanskrit meaning that we're inconceivably simultaneously one and different from God and one and different from each other. And also that idea because we all have free will, individual expression, so we have our own personality and nature, and even though we're all equal. And so therefore, everybody, that's why there's so many different realities going on in this world and so many different planetary systems, solar systems, galaxies with living entities and living beings in the school that, and in the body form that they have earned by their prior conduct and their desires. their vibration, in a sense, having to do with their choice. So what happens in the material world, it's always duality, the battle of good and evil. And that goes on all the time because one, the pendulum swings from one side and has to go to the other. So you've got this continual, it's a machine that is set up by these certain rules, like laws, mechanical things in a sense, but they're also personalities in a sense too on the mystical higher planes and dimensions, because just like this entire galaxy in a sense, or it could be more than that, we are on like these strings, we are being held on these strings like threads, like little pearls on threads that are spinning from a chandelier called the North Star. And they swing around in this kind of thing, and it's kind of, when you see Vedic cosmology, it's all pictorial and personality, not just cold numbers. There's like, everything's alive.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're focusing here, we're always doing battle, we're fighting, because there's envy is the disease of humankind. And what that is our nature is bliss. Because we're made of Satchitananda, and that's eternity. We are eternity. There's no eternal time, because time is an activity. It's called kala of the material universes. It's just really change all the time going on, because that's the nature of material energy, to change according to consciousness. And now in science, they've discovered torsion physics, which is so superior to all the other kinds. And there are scientists finding that the way Einstein said it wasn't that way, it's another way. And it's all resolving down to consciousness and even mind. And then it's so interesting how the holy teachings teach us to sing the holy names of God, Mother, Father, God. Every single religion talks about that as the highest teaching. And even in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. And there are unlimited numbers of names of Mother, Father, God. And there's mantras, because it's a sound vibration. The bodies are crystalline, the bones inside, the skull. There's the, I'm a singer, trained as an opera singer, and so found that, and I got to actually experience the fullness of my voice when my voice opened up like I was in the Taj Mahal. it was fantastic. Now all of that
is the girl has been holding herself back.